Real fast, I'm Elijah Schaefer, and before we get into this episode of Slightly Offensive, I'm excited to let you know that our new show, You Are Here, that is going to be premiering every single night, Monday through Friday, live with Sydney Watson, will be available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever else you get your podcasts. So please click the link in the description, subscribe to the audio only of our new show, You Are Here. We hope to see you there. Now let's get into our show.
The virtuous pedophiles, practically by definition, are non-harmful. The only pedophiles that we really ever hear about are the ones who cause harm. That's what brings them to attention. It's the report, it's the disclosure of the crime, it's the victimization of the child. Those are the ones that hit the news. But pedophile wakes up, goes to work, comes home, has a glass of wine, goes, watches the news, and goes to bed. That never hits the news. So even though those are the majority type, or at least we have every reason to believe that those are the great majority type, they're certainly not going to come out as pedophilic, so we can say, so that we can see that the offending ones are actually the minority. That we've driven the positive ones so far underground that we have no idea what the denominator is.
When you say positive,
yep,
pedophile,
yep,
well, I struggle with that.
Sure.
You see that interviewer look very confused when trying to react to this man, James Cantor, making an argument for the positive pedophile. He's like, well, when you say positive, and he didn't really know what to say. And so I was trying to think of what I would say if I was an interviewer and I was talking to this guy. So I looked up some sort of pictures to make this new mind map of what I was thinking about this man. If you go to my screen here, this is what I started with. This is a collage of some of the images that I was going with when I was thinking about positive and community contributing pedophiles. I don't know why, if my mind was going anywhere different than you, but this is not a joke, okay? This was an interview from 60 Minutes in Australia from a group called Protasia, which champions itself as this sexual rights group, but we're going to find is based in San Francisco and actually is pushing for the normalization of allowing adults to sleep with your kids. And it's not just them, though. It is not just them. We are even finding out that the hub, yes, the P hub itself, Pornhub.com, one of their ambassadors is even talking about the need to remove statutory rape and allow this kind of interaction with children and adults, and how this is all part of the greater plan of the cultural Marxist takeover to destroy the United States of America. My name is Elijah Schaefer, and I'm your top 17 host here at Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, where it's not a good time to talk about explosive confetti of color in your face. I hate this. I hate talking about this. It makes me sick. I literally do not like this, but I have to tell you what I have to tell you. I am joined by the lovely, as always, Savannah Hernandez, who is here in the studio, and she's wearing our great merch, which you can always get in our links in our description right there. And Zana, when we were researching for this show, you even said,
"Oh God,"
we had like warnings on our screen.
Yeah.
On Google was even warning us, like, just so you know, sexualizing children is a crime. They should have added, for now.
Yeah, they were like, oh, by the way, what you're looking up and researching right now may be illegal. And we were like, then why is it being normalized in our society today?
Why is it at the top search if it's illegal?
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, we have some horrible stuff. There's a story that we're going to be getting into today that I don't want to get too into right now. But I just want to remind you that this is in the mainstream from the U.S. Sun. It says here that PornSicko, there's fury as a Pornhub ambassador says that they would actually rape a 13-year-old boy and blast F the law in a sickening unearthed video being interviewed about the normalization of this stuff. It is not stopping there. We're going to break this down in a lot more in just a moment, but I'm also joined by the very also lovely and beautiful, slightly less attractive version of Savannah and Sydney. Sydney's stunt double, Brandon Steele, the new producer of You Are Here.
Yep.
On
yep.
Blaze TV. And what should people do? What should they do in regards to this new show that's launching soon?
I mean, they should immediately go to the YouTube channel, You Are Here, and subscribe. We're trying to get as many people as we can before the show even starts. I've told you, I want to hit 50K before we're even live. And I think we can do it.
Yeah, I know. I wish it was as easy to negotiate subscribers as it is to do a lot of things in this world, but apparently it's more easy to advocate for statutory rape than it is to get people to subscribe to a YouTube channel. So please go to You Are Here, click the link in the description and in the comments, subscribe. We're almost at 40K. I'm so excited. And just so you guys know, Savannah, people keep thinking that this show is going to end and somehow we're not putting effort into the show.
Yeah,
they don't realize that we're actually putting a whole bunch of money and overhauling this show as well. Mm-hmm. That's starting on September 3rd, and we are not stopping Slightly Offensive, and you're not going away.
Yeah, a lot of people are very concerned. They're like, what about Sav? What about Slightly Offensive? Don't worry, guys. Slightly Offensive is still going to be here. We're still going to be slightly offending you every single week. But on top of this great program, we're also going to have You Are Here feat Brandon, our lovely new producer. He's a cool guy. We like him a lot.
We're going to be having a ton of fun. You Are Here is going to be fun.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun.
If anybody saw Tim Pool last night, that's a good taste.
Check it out.
What's coming.
Go to Timcast IRL. You can see us on there. Let's get into the story. So go to my screen. So speaking of pedophiles.
Yeah, let's just segue into pedophilia with this. I feel like it's fair.
Speaking of pedophiles, I like to start out with the guillotine because it says why the guillotine may be less cruel than execution by slow poisoning.
I see.
Maybe this is all not cruel enough. There's pretty much nobody worse in the world than people who intentionally destroy the purity of an individual, specifically of a child. Okay, this is a serious thing. People who intentionally go out to take somebody that is young, that is not sexually experienced, seeking to rob them of their childhood and to violate them, are one of the lowest forms of individuals.
But feel better, because the silent majority of pedophiles don't actually do anything.
They're the good guys, right?
We found out. You know, they just go home, they make a nice TV dinner, and then they go to sleep.
Yeah, it's
their whole day.
Don't be upset about mass murderers, Savannah, because most mass murderers aren't out there killing people. They're just psychopaths waiting for an opportunity to kill someone and get away with it.
Thinking about it. Yeah. It's just a concept. It's just an idea, like Antifa.
Yeah, well, this is an alarming thing. Andy Ngo from Postmillennial brought this up, this interview from Protasia, this group that is seeking to normalize pedophilia. And this is really important because we've got to break this down, and we're going to hopefully convince you by the end of this podcast that not only is this not just some conspiracy theory, this goes from the top down, from the infiltration of our educational institutions. And yes, probably in our lifetime, you will be considered a bigot if you don't allow people to have sex with your children. And I'm not withholding that. It's actually disgusting. Let's go to this article here from the Postmillennial. This group Protasia, NBC contributor, becomes a spokesperson for the controversial group accused of normalizing pedophilia. Brennan is, I would say controversial would be like, we're controversial.
Yeah. Controversial is like, maybe don't give them the death sentence.
Yeah.
That's about as controversial as it should get. I mean, what are we arguing over here?
It's not controversial.
In what world is this okay?
This isn't controversial. This is inhumane, would be, I guess, an inhumane or like a human rights abusing group accused of normalizing pedophilia. Check this out. This is so crazy. NBC contributor Noah Berlatsky.
You were struggling with that one earlier.
Yeah. Noah Berlatsky is the communications director for Protasia, a not-for-profit group that is reportedly attempting to legitimize pedophilia under the guise of helping children. This is true. Very odd ad to have in this. Very odd ad, Postmillennial.
They don't sell the children there.
No, but look at this. So Noah Berlatsky, who I would like to bring up and remind you, is verified on Twitter. So remember, Donald Trump, the previous president of the United States, is banned. But Noah Berlatsky, who advocates for pedophilia and is trying to normalize it and make you comfortable with the idea of people wanting to have sexual relations with children, is verified. Savannah, how's your Twitter going?
Oh, the one that got deleted last year because of my reporting? Wish I could tell you. It's grown so much. It's grown so much. What could I say? Well, you know what? The important thing I'd like to point out about Noah Berlatsky here being verified, he has his pronouns in his bio. So, of course, you know, he's very inclusive. And the pronoun people always get, you know, a lot more freedoms in society today, I've noticed.
Well, God help us if the children misgender him.
Yeah, I know.
God help us
that we misgender him.
I know.
Now, what's really important about this as we get into this is I'd like to point out a few things. Number one, this man who is now the new communications director for this group, this is not a fringe group. It should not surprise people that there are fringe groups of people who have been trying to normalize pedophilia for the beginning of time. People try to normalize things. And we get accused on the show of bringing up fringe groups. People say this all the time. You're bringing up fringe, random people on TikTok, et cetera, and you're using them as blanket straw mans to represent an entire swath of people. Unfortunately for you, this small fringe group of people is starting to become very accessible, and we're having a hard time keeping up with the amount of new people that we can use as examples to represent this group of individuals who is trying to sexualize our children, almost as if this is not a fringe group and this is becoming a mainstay in our culture today.
Could you imagine handing someone your business card and be like, I'm the communications director for the pedophile group? Yeah, it was a big promotion, actually. It's the best job I've ever had.
And you get interviews like James Cantor on 60 Minutes. Now, obviously, that's a little bit too far for American audiences. Yeah. Australians still make pedophile jokes and stuff. But in America, I mean, Milo got absolutely railed for even bringing up or talking about this. What's interesting is that Milo Yiannopoulos got canceled for sort of making a justification in his head for his own abuse that he encountered.
Well, he didn't even consider it abuse.
Well, that's my point, is that he a few years ago was canceled for trying to make sense of his own abuse that happened to him. And now, a few years down the road, we are being told that perhaps we're bigots if we don't accept people being abused on a regular basis by these sicko perverts.
And I don't exactly, what does normalizing even mean?
Well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about
normalize
this. I
want to
point
like
this
that.
Out that this is Noah Berlatsky is a writer for The Guardian. Okay. So The Guardian hires pedophiles. Okay, so we have The Guardian. We also want a reminder that he also writes for The Atlantic. So when I say that, and I say this confidently and boldly, that the mainstream media is full of decrepit pedophiles, I'm not joking. I mean, I'm not joking. These people they are pedophiles. And as they would say, a lot of them are non-offending, as in they haven't found the opportunity, because that's why they want to normalize it, because they don't want to go to prison for it.
Yeah.
But the desire is there. That is disgusting.
Yeah. I mean, it's like if Ted Bundy's like, hey, I haven't killed anyone yet, you know, it's possible I'm going to do it in the future. But no, I haven't done it yet.
So let's normalize mass murder so that Ted Bundy isn't weird anymore.
Yo, Elmo's world is going to get really weird in the next 2 years. Elmo's world's going to have... Yeah,
Elmo's. I'm so glad that we're living through this progressive society now where, we're just like pro-pedophile at this point. That's the level of progression we've gotten into in society.
If only Michael Jackson could have lived another decade.
You leave Michael alone. You leave him alone.
Okay, before we go any further, I just got to say this is horrifying and I hate this. And we're going to have to go deeper into this, guys, and just... I don't give you guys warnings because I don't think you guys are losers and you guys need warnings. And if you're not
warning,
you're not tough enough by now to just accept the reality of what's going on in the world, then toughen up or just don't watch the show, because unfortunately the truth is always slightly offensive. Let's continue to read this about this normalization. So let's also do a physiognomy check on this guy, Noah Berlatsky. He looks like a pedophile, Savannah. This guy looks like he wants to fiddly diddly your child's pee-pee.
Yeah, a little bit. And, you know, people always comment, why do they always look like that? But they really do. They always look like these pale, scary, decrepit people who would 100% be like, hey, kids, I have free ice cream in the back of my truck. You want to come check it out?
He looks evil.
Yeah.
They never are just like, and they always say, oh, it's like your uncle or it's your bright eyed person. I go, maybe. I don't know. I don't know fully the stats. I don't like to research this stuff. It makes me uncomfortable. But I will say this. I do see a lot of times the arrest pictures, the mugshots of people, serial pedophiles, and I'm just going to say they are often either look like this or they look like obese people with neck beards.
There's a common motif with them. You know, they have the look, as they call it, and I'm very uncomfortable with how sensually he's looking into the camera for that picture. I don't, that weirds me out on a whole nother level.
Yeah.
If you want to do it in your private life, at least I don't have to find out. But normalizing it, it's like, well, please don't post your TikToks of this.
I know. Listen, NBC contributor Noah Berlatsky is now the communications director for Protasia, a not-for-profit group that is reportedly attempting to legitimize pedophilia. If you thought you didn't like the way I say important, wait till you hear how I say legitimize. Exactly. Under the guise of helping children, as a part of his work with the group, he has written about legitimizing trans children. Oh. We see where this begins.
Yeah, interesting tie there.
Legitimizing trans children, conducting interviews about the positive impact of pornography on children. Oh
gosh, why?
Well, we've seen this before. What's their names? George Stephanopoulos's wife writes a blog about the importance of watching pornography with your children. That's a true story.
You know, the deeper and deeper we get into this too, it's very interesting the amount of media people specifically that are all tied to this.
Yes.
You know, the very people who kind of manipulate and dictate what we all think and feel.
Almost feels like they're trying to cover for something.
Yeah.
It also seems like while they're they're claiming that we are somehow, you know, I think Susan with Jackie talked about how channels like this are part of the alt-right pipeline or whatever that is. Remember that? And they're so concerned about these kids wanting to start families and promote nationalism and, I don't know, be straight and all that scary stuff.
Disgusting.
Meanwhile, you know, that's so gross. Get your straight heterosexual marriage stuff away from me.
They're promoting the alt-tyke pipeline.
Yeah, exactly. It's so gross. You know what? And it's so gross. We actually have their propaganda that they're even saying that heterosexual relationships are disgusting. Before we go any further, watch video one. Listen to this. This is where we're at in our society.
This is probably going to piss off a lot of people.
Yeah, I don't know.
A relationship between a man and a woman is inherently unequal. And that goes for any relationship where someone is deciding to date their oppressor. Just like all white people have racism brainwashed into them, all males have misogyny brainwashed into them. And any male who claims not to be a misogynist is a misogynist. Because a self-aware man knows that he has it brainwashed into him. And any time that a woman decides to be in a relationship with a man, she's making a sacrifice and a commitment knowing that she's dating her oppressor. Almost all women have sexual trauma and emotional abuse trauma, literally just from society. And she's taking a risk in being with you and making a commitment to help you undo your brainwashing. Now, of course, I'm not saying that people shouldn't date the opposite gender, but a lack of awareness can cause problems.
Okay, can I say this also too? No wonder why people are not getting married. Imagine you date someone and you think that the reason why you date them is to help them undo their the abuse that society has done to them and the trauma. Like that, you need a therapist, ma'am, not a relationship.
I wanted to like her because the eye in the background was pretty cool. I thought that was good, but you can never trust a white woman wearing a crystal.
She's not bad looking, which is different most of the time. And the hair, the hairstyle, the bleached with the blue hue, not a good look, ma'am. Not a good look. She looks nice enough. But this is my point, is that she's out here trying to let us know that being heterosexual is a traumatic experience. Meanwhile, the same people that are pushing this kind of garbage are also trying to let us know that, you know, not only is heterosexuality weird, but you know what's even weirder? The fact that you don't want to have sex with kids.
Yeah, why aren't you trying to date younger people? What is this over 18 nonsense?
Yeah, you know, we really need to get rid of the traditional, you know, family values. And if your kid isn't trying to chop off their penis by the time they're 3 years old and, you know, transition their gender, and also, you know, they're not being targeted by adults, that's when we know there's something wrong with society, because that's the normalcy now.
I'm just going to start everything with, this is going to make some people angry. And then just go from there. Because apparently if you say that, it's okay.
You have to talk like this the entire time so people know that it's chill. Dude.
You know,
like,
consent.
Pedophilia is chill. Everything's chill.
Outdated.
Yeah. And, you know, and it does have an effect on our children. Look at this. This is from mirror.co.uk. This is, do these pictures not disturb you? Like, does this not feel illegal to be able to post this stuff?
That's what the guy who gave me my Taco Bell last night looked like. I'm not joking.
Oh my God.
He had a fake eyelashes on, and I was like, I was a little bit shook. I'm not going to lie. I was like, sir, what is that? And that's what he looked like.
I swear 90% of people who make your Starbucks drinks, that's them.
I know. Well,
their names are always like, they always have unique names and Starbucks that you can't tell if it's a boy or a girl. So like they have names that like previously you wouldn't have thought could be interchangeable, like Darren, but then you think, huh, that could be a girl named Darren, that could be a boy. And they always go, and they always hand you the drinks like this, and they like it's like inconvenient, and they're always like, you need anything else? You're like, yeah, I don't know, a straw and for you to make my drink right once, but that also could work as well. But anyway, I'm just saying.
We will have reached peak when they start asking you what pronouns to put on your Starbucks coffee.
Oh, yeah, some of them do, by the way. But listen to this, transgender girl. That is not I told Sav I wouldn't curse this one. That is not a woman. That is not a girl. That is a boy. That is a boy. There's no such thing as a transgender girl. I'm sorry, there just is not. That is a made-up identity. You cannot change your gender. You can play dress-up. You can chop off your penis. You can fillet the pee-pee or whatever it is they're inverting these days. But my God, you cannot be transgender and a girl. You can say you are. It doesn't make you a girl. And also, this stuff, kids, trans kids, did you notice, I'm bringing this up, that the normalization of pedophilia has started, Protasia, with trying to normalize trans kids, which unfortunately is not normal to me, but has become normal in society. Listen to this. Transgender girl, this is their title, this is a young boy, tried to cut off his penis, age 3, and now wears a skirt to school. Jess Breton recollected the terrifying moment her child tried to cut off his penis. This is her. 5 years on, He is now waiting for an appointment to change his gender as his proud mom seeks to raise awareness. Ugh. His mom revealed how his 3-year-old trans, son that thinks it's a girl tried to cut off his penis in a desperate attempt to be his true self. The mom of two, Jess Bratton, said the shocking incident 5 years ago made her realize how her doll loving son Logan wasn't going through an experimental phase, but instead identified as female. Logan had always had an interest in girls' clothes and makeup and had always been keen to see how her mom and young sister dressed. Jess had assumed it was merely a stage that every child went through, but when she saw Logan trying to cut off his penis with some scissors, oh my gosh, she decided to look into the possibility that her child was trans. First of all, I want to know what media this kid is consuming. I want to know what media this kid is consuming, because they say that this kid just accidentally tried to cut off his penis. I want to know, was this kid molested? And also, what was this kid exposed to? And what chemicals are in this kid's food? Because I know gender dysphoria can't... People say this is the trap, right? I did my thesis in university on trans surgery in youth, which, by the way, they almost didn't let me do my thesis on because they said that it wasn't probable and it was so rare this would never become normalized. It wasn't worth doing a thesis on.
Not a member of NAMBLA yet, so you're not qualified to write about it.
I knew this was going on because a thesis, you're supposed to write about something that's not being talked about to try to discover something new. And I saw this being a growing trend. They told me that it wasn't realistic and that this wasn't worth writing a thesis on. Well, apparently I would like an apology from the department because this was actually a legitimate reason to write a thesis on. Anyways, I would like to say this, that this is not normal, and that they always say that this is what I noticed in my thesis is they say, well, gender dysphoria is real. And I say, yes, it is real. But there are cases like this where I would say this is probably a legitimate case of gender dysphoria or gender identity disorder. But what they never try to ask you is what triggered it. They track that they were born with it. What triggered the gender identity disorder? And a lot of times I believe it's because the kids are molested, abused, traumatic disorder. This sounds like it's a single mother. There's no father in place, that there's structural issues that trigger this kind of nonsense.
It'd be surprising to see it come out of nowhere. It's rarely that organic, but it reminds me a lot of Sharia law. Instead of cutting off your arm after you steal something, you know, you have to cut off your genitals so that the LGBTQ gods will let you into whatever their freaky version of heaven is.
I freaking hate this stuff.
I assume it's like a disco or something.
I hate it.
Well, and think about, too, back in the 90s, was trans kids a normal thing? Did we have headlines and articles like this? Why was life so much different back then?
Well, they were still fun. The LGBTQ community hadn't gotten so rigid. Now they're just getting weird.
Yeah, they're radicalized
now. Weird. Yeah. They used to be fun to party with at the very least. Now they're just boring, angry, and weird.
Yeah, no, I know. I understand. And honestly, it is so ridiculous. And I really cannot handle this. It honestly makes me sick.
What's interesting about them saying they want to normalize it, though, is I get the weirdos wanting to say that, but the implication is that their parents are going to have to go along with that. So they're, by normalizing it, you have to convince the parents.
You know, this is weird. And when you're raising a family, when you're living in the world, things are getting strange. We're going to talk about the influence and the way that these people are being pushed, how Protasia and these groups are trying to transform to normalize this. And I got to let you know something, that this is true. The U.S. value system and American families have been under attack for a while. And if you have a family, you're starting one, or even if you're single on your own, you need to realize that the world is getting weirder. And that's why you need to have a self-built safety net that is crucial. I want to talk to you about safetynet.club. Now, what is SafetyNet Club? A lot of us live in a world where either we have health insurance with high deductibles or we don't have health insurance at all. It's really confusing the American system, and we don't have that protection that we need. That's why there's something called the safety net. So when you join the safety net community, basically what happens is you get access to all these types of services that allow you to customize and take control of your safety net, your health, your family's health, and your future. For example, a lot of people don't want to spend all this money on health insurance, but if you go to safetynet.club and you join today, not only do you get $10,000 accidental death and dismemberment insurance, which is amazing, which means that if you die today, your beneficiaries, the people around you, get $10,000 to cover the cost of your funeral so they don't have to raise money on a GoFundMe, et cetera. That gives you that protection. It also gives you $10,000 into your bank account if you lose a limb or you get your eye poked out, you get into some serious trouble like that. Before you can get disability, this gives you that protection you need to cover your bills, to keep your family housed. Yes, you actually get that just for signing up at safetynet.club. But also, when you go there, you get access to services that I love, like accident insurance for about $15 a month. Let's say you go to the emergency room and you have an accident and you get this crazy bill. Your insurance isn't going to cover that. Well, with SafetyNet Club, they'll cover those extra costs. It'll be $4, $10, $1,000 or even more, they fill the gaps in your insurance or also help you to create the net that you need if you don't have insurance at all. Guys, don't take your health lightly. Please take it seriously. Don't get caught up in some cheap or horrible insurance policy. Go to safetynet.club today, get $10,000 accidental death and dismemberment insurance, and also get access to all their products and their services that you can build your own safety net like I have as well. Go to safetynet.club. That's safetynet.club. That's safetynet.club. Join today. So we're talking about this, right? This is the pedophilia normalization pipeline. Trans kids, the sexualization of kids, and then it becomes that then therefore, this is the fine line, right, between consent. If kids have control over their own sexuality, if kids can control their own sexual identity, then why can't they consent to adults is their argument. And that is where they're headed. That is what they want. And this is why I want to go back to this article. I want to go back to this. It says this, that they are doing this about pornography and how the best ways to help children who are trafficked in the sex trade to decriminalize the sex industry, basically meaning that minors, we've already seen this recently with articles saying how, you know, so they just talk about it normally, how 15 and 16 year olds sell themselves as prostitutes. We've talked about it on the show. So you go to this and you go to this Protasia, right? You go to Home and you look at this group. By the way, you go to their website. They talk themselves about like embracing a second adolescence, sex and disability. Of course, they're connected to the EU, to global orders, black women in porn, this idea is intersexuality. They bring up this idea that they really have this positive
evangelical moral panic.
Yeah, the dark side of Puritanism. Yeah, the dark side of Puritanism. Don't be monogamous. Don't be heterosexual. Have sex with children, Protasia. It's disgusting. It's sick. And that's what they're doing. And what's interesting is they're allowed to work in the media. They're not demonized. In fact, they're given interviews because this is the push towards degrading all values of Christianity, of Westernism, of society. And this is about targeting your children. It's indoctrinating them. And you know what's going to happen is if you don't let your kids explore their identity, they're going to end up taking your kids away from you because you're going to be the abuser for not letting your kid have sex with adults. I promise you that's where we're headed because I want to bring this up. Let me go to this. Give me 1 second here. This is happening right now with the vaccine, and they're celebrating this. Occupy Democrats. This is a long story, but I just want to read this. A judge revokes a Chicago mom's custody of her 11-year-old son after she admits that she is unvaccinated. The dad is vaccinated and will retain custody until she is. And they say, retweet if you support the judge's decision to put the child's safety before the mom's dangerous ignorance. And they're saying that, yes, you can take a kid away from its parent if they make a political decision that goes against what the left wants. If they could do it with vaccines, and they're saying that the trans, you know, they already say that allowing a kid to transition is about giving them a healthy choice, right? That's the
freedom.
Yeah, that's the freedom, yeah. And the choice they have. It's the best. That's the best option.
They're just being themselves.
If you don't let your kid transition, they will take your kid away from you.
Yeah, and all the cool kids are going to be doing it. You know, you're going to get left out if you're not. Why isn't Tommy wearing a dress? He's not going to have any friends.
Yeah, do you know, I think this is crazy. Do you know this, Savannah? A concerned parent wrote me this. Do you know that I was reading about an article that was talking about how middle schoolers, like over 60% of middle schoolers consider themselves LGBTQ, and that you're considered the minority now you consider yourself straight?
Yeah, that's not surprising. And also, so here, I'm going to put this on your screen because this is also from the Prestasia Foundation. They have in one of their, I guess, windows, child trafficking narratives are misleading. So on top of all of those other things, a part of this organization, this is also
to normalize child sex trafficking.
Mm-hmm. And it's by Noah Berlatsky there too.
Well, actually, when you do that with the children,
yeah, you should pull this up real quick.
Yeah, let me go to that. Give me a second.
That's absolutely insane.
There's actually no traffic when you have children that you're going to be using for as sexual slaves. That's why the trafficking is misleading because the freeway is wide open.
I just honestly hate talking about these subjects. It's so difficult to do because we are seeing innocent children being targeted. Today in Texas, we passed the heartbeat bill. And of course, everyone on the left is so pissed off because innocent children can now no longer be murdered in our state. And on top of that, we're seeing things like the normalization of pedophilia. And why are we constantly targeting the most innocent among us? Why is that a normal thing to do now?
Where is this article you're referencing?
I just typed in Protasia child trafficking is misleading, and it was the second link.
Okay, because I want to bring this up. I just found this on their site. So here's what they said their values are. Go to my screen here. Their values, are at the bottom of the pyramid, sex positivity, that we proceed on the assumption that private sexual behavior between consenting adults or by oneself is not harmful rather than presuming that it is. They also have two, human rights and civil rights. Our work is grounded in respect for universal human rights, such as freedom of expression, privacy, and the due process of law. And then, of course, their child protection program. There is never any justification for adults to have sexual contact with children, to use or traffic child sexual abuse imagery in any way, child pornography. But they also say that being a pedophile is cool as long as you don't act on it, which is, of course, the gateway to saying that it is not cool. That is not cool now because it's illegal. But if we decriminalize it, then apparently it becomes okay. And that's what they're doing. They're trying to change the legal routes because they know they're smart. These people have a longstanding plan to normalize this stuff. Check this out. This is Savannah, you want to prelude this video that you pulled up here?
Yeah, sure. The one from
KGB.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a KGB defector back in 1983, basically laying out the exact thing that is happening to America. He talks about like subversion and demoralization and how like communist parties would have to destabilize a country from within. America is a very strong country, so we can't really be attacked from the outside. That would result in World War III. So what do these foreign countries do? They try to subvert us from within, utilizing basically Americans against Americans. So that's what this video is about.
Watch.
Remember, I was talking a couple of hours ago about the sleepers. That's when the students from, say, United States, if they are trained in Lumumba University, or developing nations, that's the students I was dealing with, are being sent back from the Soviet Union here. Or if they were already in the United States, in the country, which is object of subversion, they spring to action. The sleepers go up. They slept for 15 to 20 years. Now they become leaders of groups, preachers, I don't know, public figures. Prominently they act, and they actively include themselves in a political process. All of a sudden we see a homosexual. 15 years ago, he did his dirty job and nobody cared. Now he makes it a political issue. He demands recognition, respect, human rights, and Hiral is a large group of people. And there are violent clashes between him and police, his group, and ordinary people. No matter what, it's black against white, yellows against green, doesn't matter where the division line goes. As long as this group come into antagonistic clash, sometimes militantly, sometimes with firearms, that is destabilization process. The sleepers, many of whom are simply KGB agents, become leaders of the process of destabilization. Doesn't mean that Comrade Andropov sends Comrade Ivanov to the United States. The person who takes care is already here. He's a respected citizen of the United States. Sometimes he gets money from various foundations for his legitimate struggle for, I don't know, human rights, women rights, kid lib, prison lib, whatever. There are sympathetic Americans who donate their money to him. This stabilization process usually leads directly to the process of crisis.
So there's that clip, and basically, again, this KGB defector laying out exactly what is going on. And he talked about that 15 to 20 year time frame because mm-hmm. it takes about 15 to 20 years to educate an entire generation. And so, again, we're literally right on track for what this guy laid out in the 80s.
They just so happy about that.
They can play us like a fiddle.
Yeah.
You got to love the KGB. They manipulate us just for the fun of it. Russia just loves to. They're the ultimate troll. They troll entire other countries. And they must just laugh at how easy it is to make us do just the stupidest crap they can come up with.
Yeah, I know. And that's why I want to bring this up is it's beyond that. If you go to my page here, one of these ambassadors for the hub, it says here, porn sicko Fury as Pornhub ambassador says that she would rape a 13-year-old boy and blast F the law in sickening unearthed video. We can't actually play the video itself because it's
disgusting.
It's making fun of raping children. But let me zoom in here a little bit if I can so you can read that. So a sick interview has emerged of a hub host claiming that sex with a 13-year-old boy wouldn't be considered rape as he'd be lucky to sleep with her. Adult actress Asa Akira made the comments during an interview on podcast in 2012, hosted by the controversial artist David Cho. So this is the woman, and this is an interesting thing. It's definitely someone who's been abused and definitely worked in the sex industry for a while. You can see, I don't understand what the appeal is of this real overused hyper makeup daddy issue, like whore look. I never understand.
It's gross.
I don't know why guys, like, it looks like that looks like a sex doll.
I mean,
it's a blow up sex doll.
Well, in the sex doll's defense, they're getting pretty realistic. And by realistic, I mean, they look like a fake woman. So
are the women just getting more fake, or are the sex dolls getting more real?
There was actually an article, a week or two ago where, plastic surgeons were talking about how we're doing so much plastic surgery that we're turning women into aliens. They look like aliens because their face is just completely unnatural.
You mean Kim Kardashian, that's not how women are supposed to look?
Apparently not.
That's really weird. I have no idea.
She might've had some work done. I don't want to put anything out there that's, I don't want to accuse her of anything, but I don't think she's au naturel.
No, listen, listen to this. In the shocking excerpt from the interview, Akira and Cho are explaining the moment they invite a young boy to join them in a jacuzzi while at a beach house.
This is just a confession.
Please.
Yeah, how is this not incriminating?
I don't know. It's 2012, I guess. Obama's still president. So, like, being a pedophile is still, like, socially acceptable. Epstein hasn't.
It's still, like,
been
an underground thing.
Yeah, I didn't want to say Alex Jones was right again, but.
He's been right.
Here we are.
Remember the magnets.
Again. Folks, they're coming for your kids.
It's true. It says, so we have this great house with this great jacuzzi. I would like to preface this and say, this is my job, but my heart goes out to people who work in child abuse victim units, people who have to look for this kind of like CP and stuff online and try to stop it, because I'm sure you just get effed up, because my brain gets screwed up just reading this stuff, because I don't want to voluntarily read this. And if you listen to the show, you might have found your heart getting a little hardened over the years, because you're going, oh, yeah. This kind of sucks. And we will touch on subjects that people won't touch on to extents they won't touch on them, because
phrasing.
I think they deserve to hear the reality of what's going on, because people don't want to talk about this because it sucks.
Yeah.
But we have to talk about this, because listen, so we have this great house with this great jacuzzi where we're sitting from, and we get a great view of these giant waves, Cho says. He's 13 years old. He's psyched because he gets free Pepsi. His parents aren't here.
Oh, man.
The free
this
Pepsi would
such
got,
a grooming thing.
I mean, free Pepsi would have gotten me, but personally, I'd prefer Coke. I do
personally.
Love
I would prefer not raping children.
I love a jacuzzi, though.
Yeah,
so,
it's like okay. You know. Let's just keep going. He's 13. Okay. Then Akira, a Pornhub ambassador, sickeningly states that she would have raped the boy. This 13-year-old, I think I would. She said he wasn't necessarily an old-looking 13-year-old. Oh my gosh!
Ooh.
You look at him, and he's definitely a child. The group then move on to discuss whether the act would be considered statutory rape. Yes. Yes, it would. That shouldn't be considered statutory rape. And it's consensual, Cho says. Is there anyone that has a problem with that? There's not one person that would think that's abuse and would just think how lucky that kid is. That horrifying part of the interview ends with Akira claiming, no, that's definitely no one would consider that rape. Except maybe his mom. Well, F the law, she blasted.
Yeah, no one considered a problem except, oh, his parents.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah,
no one would consider it kidnapping except the people I stole the kid from.
Except for the people who created said person. Yeah, no big deal.
The key sentence in that is because his parents aren't there. Because obviously if they found out, they'd be horrified.
And see, I feel like that's why in our education system today, too, we're really seeing, because Elijah, I'm sure you saw this story as well, how schools, I believe they were in California, they were like, if a child wants to transition, we really want to leave the parent out of it, for the safety of the child.
Yes.
So that's a big transition we're seeing now, too. It's like parents, who really are they in a child's life, you know?
You know, they're not that important.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just get rid of them.
Let's just destroy the traditional family.
It's just gotten to the point where I can't handle this anymore.
I think what really makes it so odd is that they just keep targeting younger children. Like, look, if it's like 16, I don't love it, but that's fine. They're 16. They're
almost
18.
So in some states, well,
that's legal.
But preface this. In some states, it's fine because it's legal.
17 and 16,
And so they have the right. So when you make arguments between the states' rights, which is true, which is, I don't care if you want to call me sicko for this, states have an argument right now about whether the consent is 16, 17, 18, about when puberty hits, and I'll let the states decide that stuff, because that is states' rights to decide what that means. And also, too, it is interesting how in creating adolescence and prolonging adolescence, they're trying to create an immature gap where people don't become adults. In a lot of cultures throughout the world, there is different opinions about when an age of consent is and when it happens. And you know what? That's fair. People have that. But when you start going down and you're not like talking about in cultures like, oh, well, this mm-hmm. culture at 16 and that culture at 17 and these are grown adults. That's fine. You have your own opinions. If you think 18 is the cutoff, good. Keep it. If you think 16, you live in a state where it's 16, that's okay. That's what state rights are for. That's where you guys came together and decided when people are adults and consent. I think in Australia, it's 16 as well.
Yeah.
So some countries, it's that. But like you were saying, these people are not arguing about whether or not there's the 16, 17, 18, yeah. should you drink at 21 or 18 type yeah. of thing. They're going like this 3-year-old.
Yeah. If you can't buy a ticket to like the new X-Men movie by yourself because it's PG-13.
I can't.
That really should probably like.
That should be the cutoff. Yeah, maybe there should be a line drawn there.
Should kind of end there. Yeah. If you can't go to Shrek by yourself, probably shouldn't be able to like cut your penis off. I don't know.
Yeah, you know what, that's a good guideline.
Call me weird. No, but I'm saying,
like, and that's what's so weird about these arguments is like, no, like these arguments are not genuinely like, hey, we're trying to streamline the age of consent. We're like, it's confusing in America because some states it's 16, some states it's 17, some yeah. states it's 18. And we'd like there to be a clear definition of what it means to be an adult and consent, or, hey, different Western countries have different ideas. This is like, hey, let's just take this down to 10 years old. And you're going, dude, that's child molestation. Yeah, you are taking, people are not even sexually mature at 10. Mm-hmm. Unless your brain is that you're thinking that you want to normalize pedophilia, which you are trying to normalize pedophilia.
It feels like in a way they're just trying to make sense of whatever happened to them in their childhood.
Right, I agree.
Because I'm
they
sure
were molested.
Well, I mean, you know, that like that's a known thing in psychology. If you get, you know, diddled at a certain age, that kind of stunts your development at right. that age. That's why if you ever run into women who have the voice of a 12-year-old girl, that's either absent daddy or touchy daddy syndrome. It's one or the other.
Yikes.
Yeah. Well, see, and too, Brandon, I just want to bring up the point because when I go to a lot of these Antifa events, of course, there's a lot of LGBTQ members there. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest things that I've noticed is that they all have self-harm scars. These are all people who have dealt with some type of extreme abuse in the past. And then, you know, going back to the formation of the LGBTQ, like, inclusivity movement with all of this, of course, we were initially told that, hey, if you don't agree with this, you're a bigot right away. But look at how quickly it's devolved. And look at the fact that we now have 3-year-old children trying to cut their penises off. And we have teachers telling their kids not to pledge allegiance to the American flag, but to the gay flag.
Yeah. And I want to, yeah, we're going to talk about the indoctrination in schools. If you go to my screen here, it is starting in the classroom, right? This teacher, Gabriel Gipe, I don't know how to say it, who's an Antifa member and teacher at Natomas USD was secretly recorded admitting to indoctrinating students to want to overthrow the government. He also has an Antifa flag in the classroom on the wall. We're going to look at some of the videos of that in a second, but I got to let you know that we are being inundated with all types of weird things in our world, and we're being indoctrinated. We're being told that who we are is not true to ourselves. And what we're looking for is honestly to support good companies, people, and change the country for the better, especially things that support veterans and people that are not going to back down. And I'm going to let you know that we are honestly being inundated with all types of things like this freaking guy here. I'm sure that he wears boxers. I'm sure this little thin guy wears boxers with rainbow strap around it. But if you're the kind of guy that doesn't want that kind of thing, you don't want overpriced boxers that are designed for the testosterone deficient man that teaches kids to become Antifa. There's one brand that actually even goes so far. It's true that actually does make a rainbow waistband. Can you go to my screen here? Like, it's like how Ford is making like gay trucks. I mean, this stuff is just getting weird, but here it's slightly offensive. We don't want gay trucks and we don't want rainbow boxers. We actually demand more, and I actually want more room and support where it counts. And I want a quick release fly for a quick draw, a secret pocket in the extra wide waistband, or a cat for my cash or tactical necessities, or just in general for the best support. And I also want the material to be antibacterial, anti-pilling, and moisture wicking, so I stay fresh all dry all day. I've also been going to the gym too, and I've been using these Undertak boxers there, and they've been really great, and I've really appreciated them. And they're extremely comfortable, and they're durable as well. They're fade resistant, and they don't shrink or change shape when you try them on. They're also battle tested by special forces and 30% less expensive than the competition. There's only one brand that can say all that, Undertak, the only brand that is unapologetically pro-America, pro-military, and pro-Second Amendment. Go to Undertak.com, use promo code OFFENSIVE right now to get a special introductory offer. Buy 3 pairs, get 1 free with offer code OFFENSIVE. That's 4 pairs for the same price as 2 from the competition. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Go to Undertak.com, that's UNDERTAC.com. Promo code OFFENSIVE to get multiple pairs for a better price. Honestly, introductory offer, money back guaranteed. You won't want your money back. But I think we have a video here of this guy who has been indoctrinating people. He was confronted. Savannah, do we have that?
Yes, we have both his quotes and then his confrontation.
All right, let's go ahead and let's watch those.
I have 180 days of sentiment revolutionaries.
How do you do that? How do you
scare the out of them? Yeah.
Sacramento organization that is under the banner of Antifa is very loosely organized, right? So like, yeah, when there is like right wing rallies and stuff, then we like will create an opposition to that. Yeah.
Beautiful. Where would he go to connect to some of these organizations? Like,
I post calendar every week. Awesome. And then so like and I do it for extra credit, so they get points for doing it. Like, and so that encourages them to do it. And I've had like students show up for like protests, community events, you know, tabling, food distribution, all sorts of things. When they go, they take pictures, they write up a reflection. That's their extra credit. Like I have an Antifa flag on my wall, and a student complained about that. And you said it made him feel uncomfortable. Well, this is meant to make
Baptists feel uncomfortable. You know, he doesn't just have an Antifa flag. He also has the flag of the globalist American empire, or the gay American empire, the GAE, which we know he's getting his kids to be radicalized and to train them in this far left tactics. I mean, this is what it is. This is about the radicalization of people in the West that's specifically targeting the West. And I know it is, because if you go back to my screen here, when Ford said, you know, you asked Ford to make the very gay Raptor, which, by the way, I'm going to bet that nobody asked for that. Not a single person asked Ford to make this.
Where do you think you put the gas pump in a gay Ford?
In the trunk. It's got a trunk. Oh, it has a wide load. It's got some serious rear end support there.
Y'all kill me.
But they say, you know, you asked for it. And usually when people say you asked for something, that's usually nobody did. And so they made this car, which I would say, I'm glad they called it the very gay Raptor, because that is super homo.
It just looks like your average police car nowadays, actually.
It's not a particularly clever name. Just, it's the very gay car.
Yeah, like, I would just call that, hey, that's very gay. And they'd be like, oh, really? Because that's what it's called, the very gay Raptor.
Yeah, they actually sell those in West Hollywood exclusively.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, that this is the Ford Europe. I wonder how Ford Saudi Arabia is doing with this ad.
I've heard they sold out of these, actually, in the Middle East.
How is it doing in Yemen?
That's what
they're doing great over there.
Oh, the Taliban drive those now.
Dude, that would have been such a troll if before we left, we kept all the we took all of our tanks and like put gay flags all over them for the Taliban.
It would have been really helpful to differentiate whether or not those were like, you know, U.S. troops or the Taliban, because, you know, the Taliban is wearing all of our uniforms. If there was like a gay flag on them,
right.
Maybe.
But it's just, there's no explanation for this except for the fact just to simply push gayness where it was never meant to be. When you talk about this coming down to indoctrinating our kids, it's like, what the hell is a gay truck? That doesn't even make sense. None of this is supposed to make sense, and it's only focused in the West. The only reason why I brought this up is to show you how the brands and everybody is focused on just turning the West gay. Nobody else is supposed to turn into a global homo empire except for the West, because it's about the downfall. It's not about gay freedom and gay liberty. It's about destroying the framework of masculinity and destroying the country from within.
China isn't doing this?
China's not doing this gay stuff.
Oh, okay.
No, they're not.
That's really weird.
They're not doing this. They're not doing this. In fact, if we go back to that teacher, they're indoctrinating them with far left ideas. They're getting caught with it. They're pushing this, right? They push Antifa with this. But then what's happening is that people are pushing back. People are seeing this and saying, enough is enough. Stop messing with our kids. Mark Glutchman from Project Veritas then confronted this teacher. And I'd like you to notice that he has a genocidal object on his t-shirt, the equivalent of wearing a swastika, but worse, as if like it's normal. This is considered normalized. Watch this.
Gabriel, hello, how are you?
I'm good.
I am a journalist with Project Veritas.
Okay.
Nice to talk with you.
Don't
mind my colleague recording. We are recording, but I think you're going to be more interested in what I have to say here.
I don't feel comfortable with this.
Well, I think that there's been a lot of uncomfortability in your classroom. I'd like to talk with you about some of the statements you've made. I believe you said
it. I don't know what Project Veritas is.
Well, we're journalists.
Okay.
And you mentioned to one of our colleagues that you have 180 days to turn students into revolutionaries. Would you like to expound upon that?
We do not consent to this filming. We do not consent to these questions.
Well, you're in a public place, and I don't think parents consent to their students being, quote, turned into revolutionaries. So if you'd like to give a comment on that, those newsworthy statements you've made, I think that would go a long way to resolve some concerns in the community.
You would appreciate some distance. You could step away.
Well, Mr. Guyton, if you could please just provide me commentary on these statements. I mean, a student voiced their uncomfortability in your classroom with the Antifa flag. Do you recall that? Do you recall how you responded to that student? You tacitly implied they might be aligned with fascists.
I love Mark.
I mean, is this the kind of behavior in line with the mission statement of your high school? Don't you give students extra credit for going to partisan left-wing events? Sir, not harassing you. I'm trying to get comments. You're a public school teacher. You're a public school teacher, and you're teaching things outside the curriculum of your school. Do you not have a poster of Mao in your classroom? As parents would also like to know, why do you think it's okay to, quote, scare the F-U-C-K out of students to turn them into revolutionaries? Yet you said that you would consider, and you have considered, taking up arms against the state. That's an incredible statement. Do you think it's okay to push these personal beliefs onto students?
Good on you, Mark. You can cut that there. So I guess this is what I'm saying, is that while people are pushing to advocate for taking advantage of children and far-left ideologies, right, to revolutionize them. And now the reason why I wanted to include this was not just because obviously we talk about Antifa a lot and this idea of radicalizing young people into these ideas, but it was also conveniently that the gay flag was next to this. Like, this is all links together. It's intersectional to take kids, to turn them into, like, far-left communist homosexuals.
Well, and they're so proud of what they're doing until someone actually confronts them on it.
Because they're ashamed of it, because they realize it's wrong.
Yeah, they know what they're doing is either asinine or just completely immoral. So the second you actually bring it up to them, then they just want to run away. And very telling that his, I don't know, wife, girlfriend, whatever, is the only
probably
one actually
of his polyamorous partners.
The only one who actually talks. He just is too ashamed to even speak.
He doesn't wear undertack underwear, for sure.
I don't think
he doesn't wear that at all.
Yeah, he doesn't even look like he lifts a little.
Yeah, he wears rainbow waistbands. Look at those glasses, too. What a loser.
Yeah, he looks the part. He looks the part. Could you imagine in high school if your teacher was like, hey, if you guys go to this stupid left-wing event and write a retarded paragraph for me, I'll give you extra credit. Because, like, yeah, I'd go, but I'd also laugh at this moron the entire time.
Yeah, I wouldn't go. I actually would fight this person. I actually got in trouble a lot. I didn't know how right wing I was in class until I realized it wasn't normal to be watching Alex Jones every afternoon at lunch. I didn't know that wasn't a normal thing, because people were sticking things up their butts, and I was watching Alex Jones warn me that the gay revolution was coming.
I mean, we're both from LA. I had some pretty liberal high school teachers. Yeah. Not a single one ever got this weird.
No, because it was still considered not normal. Like this woman right here, let's play this video.
First, the start of Pride Month. Here's what I got going in my classroom. I got these flags from Target in like the dollar bin, so that's amazing. They didn't have all of them in the collection that they came out with, so I got all the ones that they had. As well as the inclusive Pride flag. I pledge allegiance to the queers. I also got a
just turn
really
it off.
Big...
Is this the woman that was teaching her kids to mm-hmm. pledge allegiance to the queers?
Yeah.
She misplaced the flag.
Yeah. She taught them to pledge allegiance to the queers. And that's what this is happening. It's to create this normalcy where it is odd. Like, it is odd to want to be married, live on a farm, have kids, be maskless, be free, and just be left alone. That you have to pledge allegiance. And we were warning, by the way, I had one of you guys, quite a few of you guys wrote me that we actually talked about that soon that you were going to be pledging allegiance to the gay flag, your kids would, and they are now. So apparently we got that right, Savannah. We said on our episode that they were going to start pledging allegiance to the gay flag.
Did you see, too, that some schools are sending their children home with, like, basically a permission slip for them to say the Pledge of Allegiance? That's where we've gotten to. Cassandra Fairbanks put that up on her Twitter, and I guess it was one of her friends. They sent their child home with a permission slip to say, hey, my child can either say the Pledge of Allegiance or they can opt out of it.
Yeah, also remember this mirror says parents should give their teen daughters a vibrator.
Oh gosh.
Says the sex bird. So you shouldn't say the Pledge of Allegiance, but you should say it to the queers. And while you're dropping your kids off in your very gay Raptor to show your support for the homos, you also might give your kid a vibrator. And then just to encourage your kids so they don't chop off their pee-pee. And that's literally where we're at. This is so sick. It's so annoying. And I just gotta let you know, this is the normalization that's happening. We're gonna continue to talk about this. We're gonna continue to undercover this. But I'm gonna let you know, if you make it this far in the show, please remember, do not forget to subscribe to this channel. Don't forget to subscribe. If you check that you are still subscribed, a lot of you guys don't. Notice that you're subscribed. Turn on the notifications as well. That's one of the best ways you can get things is the notification bell. I think about 25% of our audience is subscribed, but we've been really doing well. Guys, we're at like 415,000 subscribers about. So that's really good. I think we're at 414 or something like that.
Putting numbers
we
get on the board.
We're getting numbers on the board. They've tried to delete this channel many times. So thank you for that. Also, don't forget a free way to support the show is to leave a 5-star review. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. It really helps us out going to Apple Podcasts. You can also get our new show on Apple Podcasts. You Are Here as well, which is a link in the description. So you can download this show. You can download the new show that we're starting. It's available audio only. Please share these with your friends. You might get your review read on the show. Let's go ahead and let's read a couple here. I have a review here from Lacrosse Bear. Says, love the show, but Elijah looks like the kind of guy that would bring a white noise machine on a camping trip.
That's such a specific comment.
I just
comment.
Felt like you could use a confidence boost today, so that's why I picked that one.
I use white noise every night. Rain, actually. Rainforest rain. My wife prefers that. I like it though. I've come to really love it. I do use white noise.
I use a fan. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. As if it's a bad thing. You're like, you're the kind of guy who brings a sleeping bag to a camping trip.
Yeah.
Fact check.
You like a good night's sleep. What's wrong with you?
Review number two says piss 11111111190. That's the name of the person. Binge worthy. They have an exclamation mark. I love the podcast and the topics covered. Never disappointed and always waiting for the next episode. Great guests and funny commentary. Sav is so sweet and lovely. 10 out of 10. Would recommend. Love they always have it loud like that. All right, so make sure you read that. Also, remember, if you're a longtime follower of the show, become an SOB by going to blazetv.com/Elijah. Join the team. Remember that we're going to be having more exclusive content. You're also going to get You Are Here and all that exclusive content as well that's coming out. You get access to Crowder, Beck, a lot of other people. There's no reason not to join and support us as we are demonetized everywhere, and we find secret ways to support people. Like I said, we're expanding this show. We're increasing the budget of Slightly Offensive, expanding and making the show better. We are also, Brandon has a budget as well, so going to blazetv.com helps support him as well, and they like to get paid. Sav wants a raise eventually too, so right, Sav?
So true.
Help get Sav a raise. Anyway, make sure that you follow us everywhere we can follow people on social media. Savannah has a YouTube channel as well, and we are on all social media. You can find links in the description. Thank you so much again for watching another episode of Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, where we always have confetti of color, which I was avoiding calling it the cock because it is the COC, because this is such an insensitive thing. You try to sell underwear on an episode about kids chopping their penises off. It was really hard
episode for that.
The things I do.
We love you, Undertak. Sorry.
You can also, if you want to get a feel for the new show again, you can go to TimCast in real life. Sid and I did like a 2-hour and an extra hour special with Tim on his website. And if you didn't know this was an arm, I know, resting my arm on my podcast arm. Thanks again so much again for watching. This is Brandon Steele. Remember, he's the producer of the new show, You Are Here. That is, they should go subscribe to.
They should definitely go subscribe. Be ready. September 9th, we go live.
And if they're blind viewers listening online, they can find You Are Here in the description too, right? If they're listening on audio only.
Yes, it'll be in the description of everything. We will make it as easy as possible to find.
All right. Thank you again so much again for watching. Have a great rest of the week. And may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.